Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The question today is, would you rather that I speak of Kagan the Pagan or Vodka and Kafka? How about Kafka and Nafka or Borscht and Porsche? Or shall we stick to Kagan the Pagan and the spies dragged in from the cold? I mean, the spies dragged in from the cold with Kagan the Pagan, they're very good topics. Last night I woke about 3 a.m., for some reason, choking and gagging, and all of a sudden the idea of Kagan the Pagan came to mind. And I said, my God, they're trying to put a pagan on the Supreme Court. An overt pagan. I believe this is the first time they've tried to do this. As I've said to you yesterday, a reasoned liberal would be one thing, but an unqualified radical progressive is quite another. And yet they're trying to get away with this. I felt as though I was living in Ecuador or Uruguay. I felt as though I'd awakened and I was living in Uruguay. And a junta was running the country, and they were putting a relative on the Supreme Court. Then I wake up again today with the spy scandal. And I say to myself, why now? Who is behind it? And I got optimistic. Would you believe I got optimistic? Your old talk show host, your old friend Michael Savage. I had a flash of a thought that the reason the spy scandal was broken now is because there is another government within the government. There's a government of patriots in the FBI. A government of patriots who have not yet been, shall I say, purged by the Obamanics, that the Obamanics have not driven all of the American patriots out of the government itself, and that they realize that this man is so dangerous, that Obama is on such a rocket course to destroy America's military superiority and our technological advantages over Russia and China, taking down NASA, taking down our nuclear arsenal, that they realize that they better do something quickly before it is too late. At least that was a thought. It's an idea, is it not? Is it not a valid idea from yours truly, the Savage, Michael Savage, on the complete spy scandal? Now, many of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You could tell me what the score was last night between the B's and the A's and the D's and the C's. What a goon with a basketball did what over somewhere. Or what, I don't know any of that stuff. I don't live in that world. I'm politics, maybe 95% of my waking time. So we know that Kagan the Pagan is unqualified at any weight. She is unqualified at any weight to be a Supreme Court nominee. We know that the spy scandal came out of the blue, and we don't know whether it's related to Kafka and Nafka or Vodka and Kafka, or whether there's any Borscht or Porsches involved. But we do know this. Somebody's manipulating the stock market just as somebody's manipulating the news. Somebody tried to crash the market today by selling off Citigroup. Somebody tried to destroy some other veritable American companies by crashing their stocks. Boeing got hammered. Either it's foreign governments who hate our defense industry or the good old guys in the hedge funds who should have their assets seized unto the fourth generation and they should be in orange jumpsuits. Other than that, I have no feelings about what's going on in the country. Here we have Kagan the Pagan, who, when she's asked about the First Amendment, says it's fine if the law bans books because the government won't really enforce it. It's astounding to me that a woman of this low-regarded woman, fundamentally Kagan is a nonentity. The same thing I said about Harriet Myers when Bush tried to shovel her onto the Supreme Court. Remember Harriet Myers? I was the first one to say, what? It's his lawyer from Texas he wants to put on the Supreme Court. I objected. Don't claim that I am a front for the Republican Party, because you'd be mistaken. I don't really care what you say about me. Just make sure you're quoting me correctly. I opposed Harriet Meyer's appointment to the Supreme Court. I had you write hundreds of thousands of emails, and she was cashiered out of that position. This is not going to happen with Kagan the Pagan, because she has been handpicked by Republicans and Democrats alike. She's been handpicked by the oligarchy, and she's going on to that Supreme Court no matter what you say, because we don't live in a democracy. We live in Uruguay, in my humble opinion. Or would you rather I talk about the spies dragged in from the cold? Play the music again from James Bond. Maybe the people will start listening to the spies that came in. Terrible. Go back to the beginning. That's a bad segue. Do we have the Pink Panther music maybe to entertain the audience today? They're not interested in spies or who's about to destroy the Supreme Court or hamburgers. We could call Washington, D.C. Hamburger Hill now, because the president had hamburgers with Medvedev, the president of Russia. And they claim today that he knew about the spy scandal while eating, chomping down on the burgers and fries. Unto itself, I think that that's basically a cover-up. I want to play for you Robert Gibbs. He's the gefilte fish with eyes on the Russian spies. Go, please.
What was the president's reaction to the arrest yesterday of the suspected Russian spies?
I'm just going to leave this at, I mean, obviously the president was fully and appropriately informed. This was a law enforcement action. And, law enforcement acted appropriately, and he did not have a personal reaction that I know of.
Was he aware of the possibility of these arrests before yesterday, or was yesterday the first time?
No, he was. He had been briefed on this.
On anything. In fact, why you people listen to me is astonishing. How in the world you sit and listen to me when I know nothing and I'll say less is utterly amazing, when you're supposed to be journalists, you dunces, you. Listen to 32.
This comes obviously less than a week after the meetings here with Medvedev. Is there any concern that this hurts the chances of resetting this relationship, given that there are allegations that the Russians were spying against us?
I do not believe that this will affect the reset relationship with Russia.
No.
We have, we have made great progress in the past year and a half, working on issues of mutual concern, from a New START treaty to working together on things like
get the gefilte fish off the show. I can't stand him. He'll join the list of other former press secretaries who wind up working in a clothing department somewhere. He's useless. He's worthless. He's one of the worst I've ever seen in this position. How he's lasted this long is astonishing, given that he's about the worst. All right, but he's no different than most of them, going back as far as I can remember. What we have a press secretary for, I'll never understand. And why anyone takes them seriously is another. I mean, he's supposed to be a factotum of the president, and all he does is BS people? It's an insult to the word journalism. But what's a bigger insult is that the people in the media put up with it, by the way. So let's go back to what he said. It's not going to affect our relationship with Russia. We have a new START treaty. Do you know what he's talking about? That Obama agreed to dismantle one-third of our nuclear arsenal. He got nothing in return. That Obama said he wants to take apart NASA and end manned space missions and give it over to Russia and China. Do you have any idea what he's doing to us? I believe that there's a government within a government. I believe that there's a patriotic core in this government that has not yet been purged by the left-wing radicals who have taken over this country. And I believe they realize the danger we are in. And I believe that they release this now in order to stop this man before he kills us all. I'll be right back on Michael Savage. I believe that Kagan the Pagan is a big story, but I believe that the spies dragged in from the cold is an even bigger story. And I believe that the patriotic, let us say, the patriots still within the government realize the danger this republic is in under this radical regime that we are suffering through. Now, I want you to just give you some other dots along the way here. Who is in Moscow right now as this breaks? Bill Clinton. Meeting with who? Putin, the former head of the KGB, who is named in one of the papers as a person of interest, a major Democratic donor who supported Hillary Clinton. What do we read today? We hear that Obama is not thrilled about the timing of the arrests. Well, of course he's not thrilled about it. The question is, how did the FBI act almost on its sort of on its own here? I understand we're beyond the Cold War. Nobody wants war with Russia. I'd be glad to see a thawing relation between this nation and others. But I'm also a realist. I don't have to go any further than my own backyard fence to know that there are always territorial disputes in the human condition. In fact, the animal world is all about the territorial imperative. And so since the territorial imperative has been inherent and embedded in our DNA, there's no reason to believe that it's going to go away tomorrow because a group of starry-eyed idealists from Harvard University, who don't know their arses from their elbows, suddenly think that we can get along with everybody on Earth and they're going to be our friends. Children who have never worked a day in their lives, children who were handed everything, are now running this country. Children who have benefited from the blessings of the blood of others are now thinking that they're suddenly living in a new world with kindly loving neighbors across the way. Well, I wish it were that way. As I say, nobody wants war. Everybody wants peace. Only crazy people want war. But on the other hand, you have to be ready to defend your own territory and your own interests. I don't believe that Obama is defending the interests of America. I believe Obama is advancing the interests of the international communist movement worldwide. I have written a book about it. It's 110,000 words long, and it'll be out in October. And I don't believe I invented those 110,000 words. I have the evidence to support that opinion. And I'm not alone in it, or I wouldn't have published the book, nor would one of America's leading publishers paid for the book. And I am telling you that there's a hardcore of patriots in this government who agrees with me. Or shall I say I agree with them? Because it doesn't take a genius to see what this guy has been doing. No, it doesn't take a genius to see that Bill Clinton is in Moscow and this was done to embarrass him. Or that Hillary Clinton is gallivanting all over South America with dictators and it was made to embarrass her. Don't ever forget who the Clintons have been from day one. Don't forget their Leninist origins. Don't forget the fact that just because he made millions of dollars, he has never really probably abandoned his original eye on the prize. And that prize is something other than what you wish for this country, in my opinion. But I don't think I'm alone in this. U.S. agents detained 10 suspected Russian spies on Sunday, with the 11th held by a Cypriot police on Tuesday, after the U.S. Justice Department moved against an alleged spy ring it said had been under surveillance for years. Did you hear this? For years, U.S. Justice Department? Do you really believe that Eric Holder was behind this? Not for one second do I believe it. And if Eric Holder is behind this, then that's even more interesting. This is the same Eric Holder who would not bring charges against Black Panthers, who brought clubs and intimidated people at a voting booth in Philadelphia. This is a man who has done everything he could to advance that spurious, dangerous group called Acorn. No, I don't think Eric Holder is behind this. I almost think that this is an element within the Justice Department that could not be constrained, that they seem to have broken through the constraints put around them by Eric Holder. But then again, we don't have all the facts yet, do we? I believe there's a government within the government. Something is wrong with this picture. Why now is the question. You've got the greatest environmental disaster in America's history, being covered up by the U.S. media, and I don't blame them entirely. The Homeland Security Department has created a no-fly zone over the Gulf of Mexico. Do you know that? Do you know that news cameras are not allowed over the Gulf? Do you know that there's a virtual news blackout going on in the Gulf of Mexico right now because the Soviet government that we have here in the United States of America has clamped down on the U.S. media? They have that much control over them. There's no longer any freedom to discuss what is actually going on in the Gulf and whether or not Obama has failed miserably to protect the environment by dragging his heels, by interfering with local cleanup efforts, etc. And so why now? Why during the Kagan, the Pagan hearings? This is all very interesting. You could say, well, it's the summer doldrums and there's nothing else to report on. I don't believe that. There is something afly here. Something is wrong. Moreover, as I said yesterday, why the heck would Russia need spies when all they have to do is register as foreign agents as so many of our patriots, former government officials who are such patriots that they set up companies to make sure that China does business with America, does very good business with America. Wonderful patriots such as Henry Kissinger, who was so loyal to America's troops in the Vietnam era. Wonderful geniuses like Madeleine Albright, and wonderful men with sterling reputations such as whatever his name is. I forgot already. He came from Hogan and Hartson in Washington. Sandy Berger. Remember old Sandy Berger? National Security Advisor who smuggled data out, secret files out of the National Archives. He has a consulting firm that specializes in business with China. He's not a spy. He's a lobbyist. Now, explain to me the difference between a lobbyist and a spy in the United States of today. It's not even a fine line. But I want to know what these people did to attract the attention of the Justice Department. That's what I'd like to know. Something is wrong with the whole picture. And I want you to tell me, I want you to help me, I want you to call the Savage Nation, I want you to talk with me today about Kagan the Pagan, and how someone as unqualified as she, someone as far left as she, someone so out of step with the American mainstream as she, can be even considered for the Supreme Court without a major league outcry in the Senate. There should be a filibuster from day one. As I said to you, I expect Obama to replace a liberal with a liberal. That's all fair. It's all part of the game. But you don't replace a liberal with an unqualified progressive unless you have a loaded deck. And apparently, he's not the only one who has a loaded deck. In fact, I think most of the Republicans are loaded on the decks. This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Do you agree there's a government within a government that's actually protecting America's interests, and they are terrified that Obama is taking us so far down the road of conciliation with the Soviets and with the Chinese that we will be unable to defend ourselves? How's that for a sentence or two? How is that? Is it a good sentence, a bad sentence? Why the spy scandal and why now? I realize it's July 4th weekend. I realize that there are other things on your mind, such as vacation. But I believe national security should be the number one concern of every listener.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Well, look, if you don't want to talk about, Kagan the Pagan or the spies that came in from the fold, we can talk about movies, food. I can bash some restaurants. We can talk about things like that. I mean, the American people are very interesting to me, but you never know where they were going. I mean, I got a full board. It's a full bore board. Everyone's on board because these stories are big. How they could take someone as unqualified and as out of the mainstream as Kagan and even suggest she be on the Supreme Court and get this far with it is an example of how we have fallen as a republic. But that such a spy scandal would break while Medvedev was just here, Clinton is sitting in Moscow, Hillary's gallivanting around South America, something is going on and I can't put my finger on it. And I have hopes that this is an example of a force within this government, the government within a government that is still patriotic and realizes how far Obama has taken us down the road of international socialism, and how dangerous things are, and that they had to act now or forever hold their peace. That's what I really think could be a possibility, but I have no way to know this. And, you know, you have to understand something. In the sense that I'm just thinking out loud, I'm positing some thoughts. I'm having a conversation with you. I'm not reading this from the internet. I didn't read an article about it. Make believe you're sitting in a cafe talking with someone with brains who has studied politics since he's 18 years of age, which is over a half a century now, of studying politics intimately on a daily basis. And maybe this guy has something that you need to hear, whether you like him or not, because you don't even know who the hell I am. It's about time you know who the hell I am. I've had 5 New York Times bestsellers in a row. I don't care what the rats on the left say about me. You better recognize that I'm a great national treasure and that I have a mind unlike others. And I think like trouble. And I am telling you that there are few people left who can even point it out, and I'm doing it. So here I am. Disagree with me. But no, you'll make believe that I don't know what I'm talking about. You'll try to dismiss me with slander that was put up on Wikipedia by some deviants 10 years ago. Chicago, Patrick, you're on the Savage Nation. from WIND. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I think you really are a national treasure, and I think your insight is right on this spy story. I was reading comments online on a liberal news media
right.
outlet, and some liberals were really fuming and saying that it was bad timing for this story to break and how negative it looks for Obama, and they were actually, some of them, claiming that they thought there were people inside the government still working or reporting to Cheney. I thought that was kind of funny. But
oh, you mean there's still people who are not radical socialists left in the government? They were not able to purge them all? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, it seems to be the same line of thinking.
Yeah, well, that's what I suspect, that there are some patriots left in the Justice Department who've been able to break free of the chains of Eric Holder.
Right.
Thank you. That's what I think. San Francisco, Ira, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please, topic. You're talking about the spies, right?
Yeah, I think that this was basically their B team. From what I've read about that they decrypted one of their messages, you can buy software in the open market that the NSA can barely decrypt. PGP, pretty good privacy. And the fact that these people, I've met a lot of these Russians overseas, they speak idiomatic English, perfect, no accent. They could pass more for Americans. These people all had accents. They just were, this definitely was a throwout group of people meant for to keep the FBI chasing after their own tail. I don't think that this is their first line of espionage. They're too good. Do you read the history of...
Well, but let's look at the case itself. The FBI agent in charge, I read the indictment yesterday in part on the show, and he says that they were trying to get close to government officials to influence policy. Okay, let's take that on the face value. And I jokingly said yesterday on the Savage Nation, why would they have to influence policy towards the left when they already have a socialist in the White House surrounded by radical socialists at virtually every corner of the administration? What do they need to influence any further?
They don't need to. That's why I think it's just a toss-out network. What they're saying, these people go after... You follow like what the Chinese do. They go after technology. They go after... I think these people are just tossed out there, give the FBI something to chase.
Is this so the American people think that there's actually... a government that's looking out for their national security interests and that we shouldn't be worried? Is that what you're saying?
No, God forbid. No, the FBI is really doing their job, but this is not their A-team. Their A-team is still out there. Their A-team is still functioning effectively. I'm sure they're too good. You read the whole history of Soviet espionage. They are the best. They are the best at it. They wouldn't toss out these people are semi-professionals at best. Everything they did is just too transparent. It would be lovely if they were their A-team, but they're not that bad. It's something you would get from a second world country. Maybe.
What do you mean? You're saying that the Soviet Union tossed them out or that the FBI tossed them out to throw mud in our eyes?
These people out there, they gave them training. They really are spies, but they're there more or less to give the FBI something to chase after while they're real people, while their A-team is functioning. They are real.
The A-team may as well be in the White House. I stand by my words. I do not see a difference between an attempt to influence policy by the Soviet Union and the policy that's been proposed by the Obama administration. How does it differ? Obama's already said in his speeches, which I railed against, he's eliminating NASA, no more lunar missions, no more space exploration. He's sending American astronauts aboard Russian spacecraft, eliminating our own shuttlecraft. He wants to take down one-third of our nuclear arsenal. I mean, how much more can this guy do without it being exposed of who he is?
Well, I know who he is. I mean, pretty much everyone who's honest with themselves knows who this guy is. But I'm just saying that as far as, like, espionage goes, these people are going after hard technology. They're not, to influence people, they're not going to send these third-rate people out to do it. They have enough people of their own, like, as you said, to go in there and influence policy. They don't need it. They have Obama himself. He's doing more for them than they could do for
themselves. That's my point. What do they need a spy for? He's already advanced their interests much further than 1,000 spies could advance their interests. Thank you for the call. I mean, look, this is very amazing stuff. There's something wrong with this picture that no one's talking about it to any extent, you know. Kansas City, Lyle, your opinion. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, thanks. I hope to God that there is a government within the government. I've always believed that we have patriots who will not bend or break, and that are totally devoted to this country, and hopefully we're going to see their hand play out in the future.
Well, wait, you say something along those lines, and yet we see one of America's most loyal patriots named General McChrystal, who was basically killed last week. He came as close to having himself killed. His character was killed. He was thrown overboard by not only the Obama administration, but by the Republicans as well. Nobody stood up for McChrystal virtually except me. Do you know that? I don't know McChrystal, but here's a guy who went on night missions in Iraq with his men when he certainly could have sat home in his, sat back with the other fat behind the generals who do nothing. But the man went out and actually did his job. The man was the real McCoy, a paratrooper, a West Point graduate, and he got fired by Obama, and nobody said anything. Instead, McCain stabbed him in the back like Brutus as he went out the door. No, I was very worried about the character assassination of McChrystal. I thought that they were getting rid of the last few patriots, incidentally, through a purge.
Well, hopefully not, Mike.
Well, you know, you're a hopeful guy, but we don't know how far this Obama will take this country and how much he can get away with. But I believe he's being run by the most intelligent people in the world. If they could take a shill like he, who had no experience to speak of, who came from an unknown background, who was supported with monies that we don't know where most of the money came from, and pulled this off without much media interest, virtually anything is possible. I have long feared that we'd wake up one day and that we'd see communist Chinese in the White House with the president at the time saying, we have nothing to worry about. We're just changing the structure of our government slightly. Nothing will change. Do not worry. In fact, it's good for the economy. We're going to have a few individuals from the People's Republic of China and from Russia helping us guide this country back to its healthy state. There will be a few changes and nothing more than a few changes. Nothing to worry about. In fact, our debt is going to be absorbed by our friends in China. And we're going to be helped by our friends in Russia with great transfers of oil. And the amount of money we're going to save by eliminating the U.S. Navy, reducing it only to a signal fleet rather than a war fleet, is going to help balance the budget. And right now, I'd like to introduce to you Mr. X from Russia and Mrs. Y from China, who will now be part of our new troika in the White House. There will be a few changes in America, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the most hateful individuals in the media will no longer be heard. In fact, they're going to be re-educated so that they're no longer hurting world affairs in that they've helped slow the reset of our relations with these two friendly giants. And so, therefore, for the health and safety of America, we are no longer permitting any broadcast media except ABC, NBC, and CBS. All cable channels will now be running weight loss shows 24/7. And the individuals behind Fox News will now be going to the re-education camp, along with the talk show hosts who have done so much damage to this nation. The reliable sources of news will be Pravda, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the state-run television out of China, because these are reliable sources. In addition to these changes, there will be some changes in our educational system. References to the wars will be rewritten. We will understand the great sacrifices that were made both by China and Russia in World War II, without whose effort we would have seen a fascist dictatorship take over the world. In addition to this, there will be some changes in our schools, etc. You can fill in the blank. I can write a whole book on it, and I've done. I don't want to give the whole book away, because it's not available until it comes out in October 12th, I believe. But this is serious stuff. I don't know how much longer we can take this erosion of our fundamental freedoms, which anybody with a brain, anyone with any historical knowledge, can see Obama is conducting. He is eroding our very freedoms. He is functioning as though he is a dictator. He is saying go to hell if someone tries to challenge him. He believes he has absolute authority. He has no respect whatsoever for the U.S. Constitution or for the checks and balances that were instituted by men 1,000 times greater than he. 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about two topics: Kagan the pagan and the spies who were dragged in from the cold. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is a news break on the Savage Nation. I'm updating a story about the murder of two Tampa police officers as we speak. I'm putting in the picture now. As I guessed, I know how the vermin in the media work. Two cops dead, two white men, 31 years old, normal traffic stop. They did not show the perp until now. We now have a picture of the perp, and he does not look like General McChrystal. Dante Rashawn Morris is said to be a person of interest in the shooting death of two officers in Tampa, Florida. As a result of the liberals in the media, and as a result of the liberals in the government, two officers are dead today. Liberalism is a dangerous mental disorder. Fatally shot two Tampa police officers during a routine traffic stop of a car that didn't have a visible license plate. But because of the rules of engagement established by people like Elena Kagan and her ilk, the cops had to approach the car without pistols drawn. Instead, they had to take a bullet so that liberalism could be advanced another iota. Curtis and Officer Jeffrey Kokab, both 31, were pronounced dead at the hospital. Police chief in Tampa, Jane Castor, said, "We know who the perp is and we're going to find him." Dante Rashawn Morris is on the run. Dante Rashawn Morris was released from prison in April after serving 2 years for coke possession and sales. Also serves 9 months in other coke possession in 04, according to prison records. In 06, Dante Rashawn Morris was found not guilty of attempted first-degree murder, aggravated battery with a firearm, attempted robbery, and possession of a short-barrel shotgun. Had he been a farmer in northern Michigan and a member of a group of men who like using guns, he'd be arrested as part of a militia. By the way, one of the officers who was gunned down and killed today has a wife 9 months pregnant with their first child. The other man shot down by this piece of human garbage is a father of four boys and had nearly 4 years with the department. He remained on life support as doctors prepared to harvest his organs at the family's request. Only in America could one of the cop's organs be given perhaps to a prisoner who's first on the list in a prison for having killed a cop. It's possible. After all, liberalism is a mental disorder. Anything is possible. Anyway, I'm disgusted. I'm sick. It's vermin like Kagan. It's people like Kagan who've advanced the idea that the cops are the criminals and the criminals are the cops. And that's why these two men are dead. And the last thing this country needs is even more of this mental pollution, this virus of liberalism put onto the Supreme Court. Don't get me started. I'll wind up and throw a curveball that will go right through your heart. Convicts sought in deaths of two Florida police officers. The reason they're dead is the same reason four Oakland police officers were killed 2 years ago. Because they approached another drug dealer without their sidearms drawn. And the reason their sidearms were not drawn is because vermin in the liberal community had started community policing and community this and civilian oversight boards. They're all fronts for the drug gangs, these civilian oversight boards. All of these bastards who talk about police brutality. And I want to tell you something else. Had those cops in Oakland been able to approach with guns drawn, one on each side, they'd be alive today. But because of the civilian review boards and the old ladies up on the hills of Berkeley who said the cops are bad and the criminals are misunderstood minorities, they're dead. Four of them, dead and buried. Now there's two more cops dead and buried. Excuse me, dead and not buried. Their organs are being harvested, possibly so they can donate one of their organs to a prisoner in a hospital who murdered a cop. We don't know. After all, what's fair is fair. You don't want to reserve the organs for just civilians. You got to reserve the organs for everyone. Everyone's equal in America, right, under the new communist rules? I think I made my point. Be on the lookout for Rashawn Williams. Finally got the picture out by the Associated Pukes. It's up on michaelsavage.com. I can guarantee you won't see his picture tomorrow in the local newspaper. I can guarantee you as I sit here, because he doesn't look like General McChrystal, you'll never see his picture. But let's go back to the spies, and let's go back to Kagan the Pagan. West Virginia, Will, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I was watching the Elena Kagan confirmation hearings, and when she got to the part where she said what she learned from her Harvard days and everything, she said, no one has a monopoly on the truth. And it struck me that I heard this somewhere before, so I went ahead and looked it up, and it's from no one else's mouth other than George Soros. It's from a
No, but George Soros may have said that, but he didn't originate that statement. George Soros is probably the evil ruler of the world right now.
Well, but from what she was saying in her hearings, if you go back to this article, which is called "The Capitalist Threat" in 1997 Atlantic Monthly, it's really just, you know, bullet by bullet point.
Yes, the capitalist threat and the final battle between this and the socialism. Yes, she's a diehard lifetime anti-American, anti-capitalist internationalist. Her father was a street lawyer who promoted far left radical causes in his entire life. She comes from a terrible lineage. She is unqualified because she has not been a judge. She's unqualified because she hates America. She's unqualified because she hates the military. She's unqualified because she hates the unborn. She's unqualified because she hates the nuclear family. She's unqualified because she's a radical feminist. And yet we have no second party in this country to stand up and say what I just said. Because if we did, she wouldn't even gotten this far.
Right out of my mouth, Doc.
And I said it for all of you. At least I spoke for all of you. That's all. Virginia Beach. Aaron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a great honor to speak with you. I'd like to point out, I think I know exactly where they're going to go with this spy thing.
Okay.
I believe what's going to happen is you're going to see these guys get sent back to Russia as an act of kindness between USA and Russia, and then Russia's going to slap the crap out of them and put them in the ringer as a great act of kindness to show that Russia is playing nice with America these days. It's going to turn into a big PR event, and Obama's going to be going down as the one that helped Russia.
Yes, this way Obama can say we continue to be constantly on our guard against such activity when, in fact, it's all a ploy. It's simply a, what's the word, Trojan horse?
Exactly. I've been in the
when they're already in the White House, and these spies are nothing but outsiders. That's what a lot of people think.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Graham Hancock with a special report from Michael Savage. It seems that Elena Kagan is having some problems with her enunciation of words. I have a secret tape that I've been able to obtain. Let's listen in.
Now, Elena, enunciation is so very important. Let's try it again, shall we? Give it your best shot. Come on. I know you can do it.
The joy of my life has been to teach thousands of students about the law.
It's not law. It's law. Try it. Say law.
Law.
Say law.
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 Law. Law. Law. Law.
Law. Law. Law. Law.
No, 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 no. No, please. Law. Law.
Law.
Law.
Law.
Law.
Law.
Law. It's law. This is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. You can't even say the word law.
No one has a monopoly on truth or wisdom.
There you have it. Elena Kagan can't even say the word law. One only wonders what's ahead for the Supreme Court. Back to you, Michael Savage.
Kagan the Pagan. Five reasons to oppose Elena Kagan's Supreme Court nomination. One, she is unqualified. She has never been a judge. Two, she has a hatred for the U.S. military. Three, she has a hatred for the unborn. She helped Clinton navigate through the partial birth abortion debacle. Three, she has a soft spot for terrorist detainees. She has argued that terrorists must be able to appeal military commission decisions to a civilian court. Four, she hates gun ownership. She counseled against granting a review to a case challenging the gun control laws of D.C. under the Second Amendment. And five, she has been a lifetime left-wing radical, her father being a street lawyer from the gutters of New York. So I say Kagan the Pagan is somebody akin to a judge that might be picked in Ecuador or in Uruguay. I mean, she has no place on the U.S. Supreme Court. We're also talking about the spies who were drugged in from the cold on the Savage Nation and other timely topics that you care to discuss. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Or visit me online at michaelsavage.com. So, what would you like to talk about? Spies, radical socialists being put on the Supreme Court, who makes Ruth Bader Ginsburg look like a centrist? I mean, I like to call her Ruthie Jr., but she isn't. She's worse. At least Ruth Bader Ginsburg had a husband and family, which tends to balance people to a certain extent. I mean, do I have to go any further and explain myself in any more detail? Do you have any idea what a historic decision this is going to be if they take someone as unqualified as her? Again, I want to go on the record with my audience. I don't expect my enemies to get me straight, but I expect my audience to get me straight. I expect Obama to replace a liberal with a liberal. Now, understand how the game works. But you don't replace a liberal with an unqualified progressive unless you have a one-party system, where the people who put Obama in power have already picked her. And so I'll take your calls. Cincinnati, Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Doc Savage, I have a Russian girlfriend, and I asked her about Kagan's name. And I said, Kagan, is that a Russian name? And she said, yeah, so Ileana Kagan would be a very Russian name. Her roots probably come from plants that came here in the 30s, and that's why she wrote her essay on socialism in the 1930s.
Yeah, but I must temper your remarks to a certain extent, Mike, in the sense that not all people of Russian origin are communists. There were white Russians and there were red Russians, and I'm sure you know the difference.
Oh, absolutely, but I'm
sure my grandfather fled Russia because he fled the Russian Revolution. He hated the Bolsheviks. My grandfather fled the Russian Revolution because he knew what was coming, and he came to America for a better life. So not all Russians, it's like saying all Americans are the same, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know that, but I would deeply suspect that her family roots, particularly.
Well, in that regard, I agree with you. And the reason I agree with you is because her father was a well-known street radical lawyer in New York. It's not that he worked against communism. He was a fellow traveler, in plain English.
And
let's put it to you this way. If you rifled through his underwear drawer, you might have found pictures of the Rosenbergs. Let's put it to you that way. Hidden underneath the pajamas and socks. New York City, WOR. Tom, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Dr. Savage.
Good evening, and how are you? How are you?
Good. I have an idea I'd like to share with you. It seems to me that possibly this story, the spy story, is really just a red herring to throw the track off of the Obama-Blagojevich trial going on in Chicago. Since today there was testimony that through a union representative, Obama had suggested that Valerie Jarrett should be the senator to replace Blagojevich.
Of course. Obama comes from the Chicago machine. Why are we shocked that Obama would be deeply involved in this activity, what went on around Blagojevich? It's to cover up the Blago trial, if you want to go down that road. Cover up the Gulf oil spill, which after day 70, he's accepting some assistance for the spill. We understand the man is an incompetent or worse, and he needs any distraction he can get. So maybe the Justice Department decided to pull a trigger on this investigation in order to make the Americans watch the spy story.
I also had a suspicion that on Memorial Day, when he went to Chicago, which was prior to the trial, that's when he was getting together with his friends in Chicago to say, what are we going to do about this? Well, you got a problem this week. What are we going to do?
Well, that's right. When he wouldn't go to Arlington National Cemetery and pay respect to men far greater than himself who gave their lives for the freedom so that he could become president?
Absolutely. People of common sense out here know what this enemy was in. And the Trojan horse I heard before, that is the perfect description of what this man is. He is the Trojan horse.
Well, we'll let it go with that. I could say a lot of things that I have said in more eloquent words than those. There's nothing wrong with the phrase the Trojan horse, but we're way past the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse was wheeled through the gates of America a long time ago. And now we're facing the consequences of such activity. What would you like to talk about? I mean, I've covered it all, really. I think I've covered Pagan the Kagan. What did I say? Kagan the Pagan. There once was a lady named Eleanor who some thought was Kagan the Pagan. Nah, forget it. It's not funny. We have some interesting sound that I would like to introduce at this moment. There is a man named Dmitry Medvedev, who's the Russian president, who gave a very interesting interview with Pravda on the Cold War and the possibility of World War III, which I thought was astonishing. And we pulled a few sound bites from Russian Prez Dmitry Medvedev on the possibility of a third world war. Listen to clip one.
We surely should preserve our strategic capabilities. The world is complex, and a lot of countries are seeking nuclear weapons. From time to time, they threaten the world with a big nuclear stick, or threaten to produce nuclear weapons. They test new hardware. Considering this, we cannot forget about security. Therefore, our strategic nuclear component is a very efficient element in protecting our national interests.
Let's stop there. He's right. But so is it true for us. And for Obama to say unilaterally he'll take apart one-third of our nuclear arsenal is suicidal, unconstitutional, and grounds for impeachment as far as I'm concerned. But then again, I'm sort of a old-timer about these things. I'm not one of these progressives, you know what I mean, who thinks that everyone's going to dance with us. Let's hear next one. Next, number two.
Do you think there's at least a hypothetical possibility of a military conflict that would be similar to World War II in scale? Unfortunately, such a conflict is possible because there are all sorts of countries on our planet, and they have all kinds of interests. This planet has a huge amount of weapons, and there are people who still consider war as a means for solving their political problems. After all, accidents will happen, so we must be prepared.
You know, he's a brilliant man. He has a beautiful control of the language, and he's absolutely right again, from the point of view of Russia. Unfortunately, we don't have one statesman in this country who can speak with such eloquence in the entire Congress that I know of. You know, the Congress that we have is about the lowest you could find in the Western world. There's virtually no education in it to speak of. It doesn't mean that they're stupid. It means that they have no capacity for the use of language. Whenever I hear a statesman from France or Germany or Russia, or I read a newspaper written in the English translation from the Chinese, I say, my God, what we are lacking, it's as though we're living in a desert. A desert where rap music seems to be the norm, not only on the record labels, but also coming out of K Street. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, today, Kagan was questioned, Kagan the Pagan. The only one who asked her any real questions was the great Senator Jeff Sessions, the top Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he questioned her about her decision as dean of Harvard's law school to bar military recruiters from the school's career services office because of the Pentagon's policy against openly gay soldiers. Sessions said that that amounted to punishing the military services, treating them in a second-class way, and creating a hostile environment for the military on campus. Sessions was not placated. Senator Sessions said he emerged from a heated back and forth with Kagan the Pagan on the issue, more troubled about her nomination than before. But we expect that this has already been predetermined. She will be seated before the court opens for a new term in October. We will have the most unqualified Supreme Court justice in modern American history. Someone who is so out of touch with the mainstream of America, out of touch with mainstream jurisprudence, out of touch even with liberalism, in that she is an extremist who is not even a liberal, that we cannot understand how she's gotten this far. Moreover, the very same individuals on the Republican side who ushered in the reign of terror under Ruth Bader Ginsburg are at it again, most notably the fellow from Utah, who I once had great hope for. Senator Lindsey Graham, our South Carolina, another double talker, she was wonderful. All the Dems were in her corner to begin with. Of course, there has been no opposition, truthfully. That was just a sort of show trial. and you know what she is. There's no question who she is, what motivates her, where she came from, who her father was, what she was doing at Harvard. She worked for Justice Marshall, about the most extremist left-wing Supreme Court justice in history. She was sort of a mini Justice Marshall. Justice Scalia has a view that the Constitution should be interpreted solely based on its text. She wouldn't agree with that. Kagan responded basically that the Constitution is what she wants to make of it. When she was asked by Sessions whether she considered herself a progressive in the mold of Obama or a legal progressive, Kagan said she'd rather choose her own labels but declined to give herself one. Kagan the Pagan answered, "I'm not quite sure how I would characterize my politics, but one thing I know is that my politics would be, must be, have to be separate from my judging." Yeah, sure. You got me fooled there, yeah, girl. You got me fooled, girl. Yeah, yeah, sure, your politics are separate. Do we have any Kagan today? We have a lot of it, right? Let's play a Sessions-Kagan interchange on the Savage Nation.
Senator Sessions, I have repeatedly said that I believe that the don't ask, don't tell policy is unwise and unjust. I believed it then, and I believe it now. And we were trying to do two things. We were trying to make sure that military recruiters had full and complete access to our students, but we were also trying to protect our own anti-discrimination policy and to protect the students whom it is, the policy is supposed to protect, which in this case were our gay and lesbian students.
In fact, there was a protest on campus the next year, and you participated in that protest and spoke out saying, quote, "I'm very opposed to two government policies that directly violate our policy of non-discrimination and directly impact our students. The first is Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The second one is the Solomon Amendment, which effectively forces educational institutions to make exceptions to their non-discrimination policy." And you participated in the filing of a brief attacking the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Is that correct?
Senator Sessions, that's not quite correct. The lawsuit itself brought a constitutional challenge to the Don't Ask, Don't to the
Solomon
Amendment.
Listen to her. I mean, I grew up with these people. One of them worked in Katz's Delicatessen. The other one served pickles down on Delancey Street. This one went to law school and is basically the same mindset. The only difference is that she's anti-family, anti-American, anti-military, anti-police, and fundamentally stands for everything that I oppose, and she's unqualified because she's never been a judge. Other than that, I have no problem with Kagan the Pagan. But since when do the people matter in this country? When have the people mattered in this country? How many years ago did it stop that the people mattered? We'll conclude this sad chapter in American legal history by playing clip 13.
Senator Sessions, you're of course right that the Solomon Amendment is law passed by Congress.
Lua.
We never suggested that any members of the military, you know, should be criticized in any way for
this.
Can I
schmooze you?
Quite
Can
to
I
the contrary. I tried to make clear in everything I did how much I honored everybody who was associated with the military Harvard Law School campus.
Yeah, right.
Was trying to do.
All right, turn it off, Ray. Yeah, she loves the military all of a sudden. Here's a gun grabber, cop hater, military hater, anti-establishment, male hater of the highest order. Suddenly she loves the military. She can't even say the word law. She can't even say the word lua, and she's going on to the Supreme Court. It just shows you what happens when you cull from the lowest streets of Chicago what you get as a president, how it infects the body politic at every level of the country. Little too harsh for you? Oh, I apologize. Take a look at who's appointed her. Take a look. Take a look at who picked her. We may as well be living in Uruguay. Take a look at who picked her. Another great legal scholar, Barack Hussein Obama. Another sterling example of the law, of what law schools produce today. Another sterling example of what comes out of Harvard Law School.
Savage.
Do you agree with the president and my colleagues that judges should take into account whether a particular party is a big guy or a little guy when approaching a question of law, or that one side is powerful, or that one side is a corporation.
The obligation of courts is to provide that level playing field, to make sure that every single person gets the opportunity to come before the court, gets the opportunity to make his best case, and gets a fair shake.
Supreme Court isn't in the business of giving guidance, though, is it?
Well, I think for the Supreme Court to set down its view of what the federal statute preempts would be very helpful to state legislatures.
Under the federal law, states are explicitly permitted to legislate in this area, and I'm quoting the statute now, through licensing and similar laws.
Senator Kyle, what we argued in the brief was that the Arizona law did not qualify under that exception, because what that exception was meant to talk about were sort of traditional licensing laws of the kind when, you know, you license a lawyer or you license a doctor or you license a chiropractor, but not a law that essentially imposes sanctions on any employer for hiring illegal aliens.
The federal statute.
Let me bring in corned beef to the Supreme Court. You'll all feel better.
People who
a little seltzer and corned beef goes a long way.
Called illegal aliens. Wasn't it inferred there that the court meant for states to be able to do exactly the kind of things that the state of Arizona did? It wasn't limited to licensing a professional. It was the denial of a license to someone who was violating the law.
Yes, we definitely took a different position, Senator Kyle, and the reason we did is this statute clearly would prevent a state from saying anybody who hires an undocumented or illegal alien would be fined $25. The statute clearly prevents a state from saying that, from imposing a penalty on an employer who hires an illegal alien.
You asked a colleague, rather, whether certain organizations were on a list of organizations
you got a cheesecake, maybe?
Tax deductions, and you referred
I'm in the middle of a hearing here. I'm dying here. I'm starving. You got a pickle?
The other was the KKK, and you referred
to
them
the mic's
as,
open?
Bad guy orgs.
What's so he talking about, the big stunt there
example,
from Texas? What'd he
NRA,
say? Is my mic open?
The NRA to be
you give me a pickle here. I'm dying. I need some salt.
Deserving of defeat in the case?
What? Yes, but Senator, of course.
I'm sure that
well,
that
we certainly agree in freedom. Is this mic
let
me have that pickle.
Notes on a telephone call. Basically me jotting down things that were said to me, and I don't remember that conversation at all, but just the way I write telephone notes is not to quote myself.
Okay, so your belief is that you were quoting someone else when you wrote back.
Or paraphrasing somebody else, but it was not. It was just telephone notes.
You wouldn't, in any event, put the NRA in the same category as the KKK,
It would be a ludicrous comparison.
Thank you.
That's not what I really think. Like, you got the pickle yet and the cake, the cheese? Yes, Senator, absolutely. I love the NRA. I think everyone should own a gun in Brazil. You got the cake over there? Yes, Senator, whatever you say. Sure, Senator. Oh, yeah, absolutely, Senator. I love the military. Oh, yes, Senator. Yes, Senator. I don't love illegal aliens. I love the military. Yes, Senator. Anything else, Senator? It's ridiculous. This is the government we have. This is what we've come to. I see that Vice President Joe Biden is touring the Gulf region, while President Obama is touring the Gulf region. Yes, President Obama is somewhere on the Gulf region, while Vice President Joe Biden is touring the Gulf region, west of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. There are only close-up shots of Biden and his shirts. No pictures of the actual. You notice you haven't seen a picture of any birds recently that are full of oil? They've been banned by Big Sis Napolitano and the government media complex. In fact, I expect very shortly to read that the government has discovered that oil is actually good for seafood, that it's going to save on energy costs because with the newly improved crude oil, seafood-drenched shrimp and such, fresh from the Gulf, bottled just for you, you no longer need to buy olive oil, and it will save in many different ways. It's low in cholesterol, low in saturated fats. It has a nice Cajun flavor to it. Just throw it right onto the grill. It's already pre-seasoned and pre-oiled. And it goes up into a nice black smoke immediately, creating a nice charbroil taste. The American way. The crude way. So what do you want to talk about? Kagan the pagan? The spies? The incompetent administration? Now they're letting foreign rigs come in and help. You hear this? 70 days later, they're finally letting the foreign rigs come in. Day 70, says Matt Drudge, Obama accepts international assistance for spill. He could have done this, by the way, day 20, but he was busy seeing if he could chip a birdie or so, whatever they call it. I don't even know any names in golf, to be honest with you. I'm an inner city kid. The closest I got to a golf club was carrying them. The United States is accepting help from 12 countries and international organizations dealing with the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The identities of all 12 countries was not announced. See, even that they're hiding from you. They won't even let you know the name of the countries. It's amazing how you accept this from this media that we have. They won't even name the countries that are being let in to help with the spill, so-called. Because it'll turn out that half of those who are going to help with the spill are going to use this to their advantage to see if they can gain some kind of oil leases now. And let me tell you something else. When BP is driven into bankruptcy by Obama, I'll make a prediction who's going to buy up all BP shares. China. And they're going to own another oil giant. You want to mark that down? After Obama and his minions drive BP into bankruptcy, China will pick up all the shares and they will own a majority interest in BP. And they will be drilling off our shores. That's all. That's what you need. Because after all, it's a Mr. Rogers world. What else do we have in the news here? There's some good stuff on Michael Savage. I don't know about the spy thing. I don't even know if it has any legs. It is so 50s. I don't know. We're living in a technicolor world, so to speak, and it's a black and white story. Let's put it to you that way. And the spy thing is black and white. The oil spill is in color, but they won't show it. White House aide failed to disclose $40,000 payout. Shocking. Kagan's partial birth abortion lie. Senator's aide calls Tea Party as Nazi brown shirts. This is all on MichaelSavage.com. Convicts sought in deaths of two Tampa police officers. We have the beauty's face on the website. Inventor paints mountains white to combat climate change. Teddy stopped. He barked. He looked at the perp and barked. I made him look. While GOP shows restrained, Dems go on pork spree. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, who's known you for a number of years, said this about you. Elena Kagan is clearly a legal progressive. I think Elena is someone who comes from the progressive side of the spectrum. She clerked for Judge Mikva, worked in the Clinton administration, in the Obama administration. I don't think there's any mystery to the fact that she is. As I said, more progressive role than not. Close quote. Do you agree with that?
Senator Sessions, it's absolutely the case that I have served in two Democratic administrations, and I think...
No, but I'm asking, do you agree with the characterization that you are a legal progressive?
Senator Sessions, I honestly don't know what that label means.
Can you believe this? Can you believe that this fork-tongued devil would lie right through her nostrils like that? This is the least qualified, lowest caste member of the legal profession I have ever heard approach the bench. And, you know, I have no one to blame, really. There's no one to get angry at. It's just the state of affairs in America today as we go to you-know-where in a handbasket. This is what you get. When you drain the pond of progressives, and this is all that's left, you know it's not too long before we're living in Uruguay. So there once was a woman named Kagan who some people thought was a pagan. Though she wasn't a judge, still the limbs wouldn't budge. She'd be better off in Copenhagen. And here's an example of the kind of study that Kagan would no doubt approve. Came out today. U.S. has paid $1.4 million for a project that is studying the social milieu of male prostitutes in Ho Chi Minh City in Hanoi. The National Institute on Drug Abuse, a component of the NIH, has so far awarded $1.44 million in federal funds to a project that is estimating the size of the population and examining the, quote, social menu of male prostitutes in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. In study one, Formative ethnography. What? Formative ethnography, meaning the pervert scientist who was running this study, who got his friends at the NIH to fund his male prostitute run through Vietnam, is going to look at all of the boys in Hanoi, and he's going to conduct a formative ethnographic study. Study one, formative ethnography, will be used to describe the settings. That means whorehouses. Venues, that means the streets of ill repute. And overall social milieu, that means the slums, in which male sex work is being situated, close quote, says the NIH abstract for the grant. Quote, in study two, we will conduct a capture-recapture survey to estimate the size of the male sex worker population in each city. I'm not making this up. The grant project began in July of 2008 and is scheduled to run through March 2012. In fiscal 2008, the NIH awarded the project $534,000 in federal funds. In fiscal year 2009, the NIH awarded the project $465,000. And in fiscal year 2010, the NIH awarded the pervert, I mean the project, $442,000. So far, a total of $1.44 million in federal funds has been awarded to the pervert, I mean the project. The NIH project says the study of HIV infections in Vietnam has only recently begun to pay attention to, quote, men who have sex with men, quote. The study seeks to address an important public health question. What is the impact of male sex work on the growing HIV epidemics in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, says the NIH abstract. HIV rates in Vietnam are rapidly increasing, and yet there are limited data on the role that different populations play in this increase. Existing data are based on the assumption that HIV is found primarily in injection drug users and female sex workers, with only recent attention being paid to men who have sex with men. In other words, the genius is going to go over there and discover, determine whether or not this type of behavior amongst men and male prostitutes in particular spreads disease. He could go to church on Sunday. He would get the answer for $0. It wouldn't cost you a dime if you went to church on Sunday. This is what happens when you have atheists and pagans in the government. They fund this kind of a perverted study. You know, I'm actually getting sick talking about it, so I'm not going to talk about it. It's on my website from CNS. U.S. has paid $1.4 million of your money to permit a pervert scientist to go into the slums of Ho Chi Minh City and talk to male hookers. No doubt you'll find that he spent some of the money to engage in sex with some of the hookers in order to make certain that the study has a double-blind variable in it. Accuser feared reporting Gore to police would endanger planet. Liberals like herself advised against telling police about Gore's sexual advances. One asked her, quote, just suck it up, otherwise the world's going to be destroyed from global warming. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. How about your old friend Reverend Wright, the man in whose church your president sat for 20 years claiming he heard nothing? Reverend Wright said, white folk done took this country. White folk done took this country. Any Jews are keeping Obama away from him, he said. Then there was a funeral here in San Francisco for a radical leftist money man, and the entire radical leftist SF gaggle came out to the funeral to mourn the death of the money man for the Democratic Party titan Walter Shorenstein, who made a fortune legitimately and gave a lot of it away to liberal causes, giving us Nancy Pelosi and the other fine, upstanding American citizens that we've all come to love so much. Chinese companies rent white foreigners. This is on the website, too. Wow. To have a few foreigners hanging around means a company has prestige, money, and the increasingly crucial connections, real or not, to businesses abroad. So they're hiring whites, token whites, to stand in the boardroom. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hey, by the way, I have a petition on my website which says, help me send a message to Hillary Clinton to get my name off that list of murderers and terrorists. There are now 85,000 names on that mailing list. I want to hit 100,000 as soon as possible. It costs you nothing. Just go to michaelsavage.com, click on the ad, put on your name, and that's the end of it. And there's a lot of other good stuff I'm not going to point out on my website. Lead story, Dr. Savage ringtones. I mean, spy rings femme fatale. She's not even that hot. You know, unless you have like a Slavic thing. A ring of 11 Russian moles right out of a cold. We talked about it already. Flame-haired 007 worthy beauty who flitted from high-profile party. You know, all right, well written. I think the whole thing is a, what should we call it, sand in our eyes. I think that the sand in the eyes is meant to cover up the Kagan disgrace, cover up Obama's handling, mishandling of the oil spill, and Obama's pandering to Russia, frankly. It's one theory. We don't know. We'll never know. You know what I'm saying? New York, WOR, Justin, you're on the Savage. Justine, you're on the Savage Nation.
It's Justine. That's okay.
Well,
guy,
okay, Justine, you're Justine Time. What's up?
Yes, I'm Justine Time. Yes. The Kagan thing is making my head feel like it's coming right off of my body. Anyway,
we understand. Now, why do you feel that way? Because she's so unqualified? Is that it?
Well, no, there's a million things, but the one thing that I haven't heard anybody really address succinctly, which I think you can, is that she thinks there's wiggle room in the Constitution. Now, correct me if
I'm... But they all do. But so does Ruth Bad Girl Ginsburg. All the leftists say the Constitution is not set in stone. All of them say the Constitution is meant to be reinterpreted. Why do you think Obama went to Harvard and studied constitutional law? It was an attempt to get around the Constitution by rewriting the law under the guise of saying it's a... What are the words? They have their favorite phrase is that it's plastic.
Plastic.
That we have to modernize the Constitution, that those old white men didn't really understand the law well enough. In other words, it took Kagan, the anti-family, anti-military, anti-police, anti-American, anti-church Kagan, and the anti-American Obama to tell us what the Constitution really meant. Those old white men are not to be trusted. Isn't that what they're saying?
Michael, let me tell you, that I listen to this station all the time. But anyway, there was a direct quote, and I wish that you could get your guys to find it. She said...
All right, I got to move along. I'm really getting clamped up here. I know that she's unqualified. I know that she's a radical leftist. I expect Obama to replace a liberal with a liberal, but not a liberal with an unqualified extremist progressive. I have said all I can say. Jeff Sessions is doing the best he can do, given the climate of ignorance that prevails in the Senate and the climate of ignorance that prevails in the media. There's nothing more I can say. She was handpicked by the oligarchy for reasons only they understand. And it probably has nothing to do with the issues that we think she is going to rule on. No doubt it is because of business interests that she has been put onto the Supreme Court. There is no question in my mind that certain cases are pending that will go before a court. She will be sitting there and she will find in favor of her controllers. All right, so let's stop looking at all the other distractions, whether it's the military or the unborn. They're all important. But when it comes down to it, the people who put Obama and her in power are all about the bottom line. It's all about the dollar at the end of the road. The green is all that matters. It's not the red. It's the green. What would you like to talk about in the waning minute of this hour on the Savage Nation? We've said it all. I've said virtually everything I can say. I mean, I'd like to conclude there's a wonderful, wonderful thing from Medvedev that we'll play tomorrow. But why bother? I think we should conclude with the voice of Elena Kagan herself on the law. So let's have a Kagan piece where we can hear the voice of our next distinguished Supreme Court justice from the delis of the Lower East Side. Let's see what we have.
Senator
now.
Sessions,
the new deli woman.
You're of course right that the Solomon Amendment is law passed by
law.
Congress.
It's law.
And we never suggested that any
members... All right,
members
you get it
of
off already. You know, I wrote a piece called Corned Beef Commies a long time ago, or Lexus Liberals. I quoted, those are my quotes. I got so mad at the Corned Beef Commies that I met in my life that I wrote about them in a long poem, and I made them into ringtones. You can get them by going to michaelsavage.com. I'm sorry to promote it, but you know what? I would like to hear, when every phone rings in America, that a conservative picks it up and it doesn't ring, it says Corned Beef Commies, Lexus Liberals, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up,
big stories today are the attempts to put a totally unqualified, low-ranking, radical leftist onto the Supreme Court by Obama. Her name is Kagan. It rhymes with pagan. Kagan the pagan stands opposed to every deep American value. Her record on the military, where she praised Harvard's decision to ban military recruited from Harvard simply because the military had openly banned gay service members, speaks volumes. Her record on abortion, she helped Clinton successfully navigate the partial birth abortion bill through the Senate, meaning she's in favor of infanticide. By the way, she is not a mother herself. She is not married and has no family. And yes, that does matter. Yes, in a nation where the family is in such trouble, I would think a family woman would be a better choice than this one. Her record on terrorist detainees is abominable. She said that terrorists must be able to appeal military commission decisions to a civilian court. Her record on guns goes against not only the Supreme Court, but the Constitution itself. Her record on liberalism is astonishingly biased. This is not just a liberal, this is a far-left radical. We are also talking about the emerging spy scandal in America. It's a very big story. The only questions that need to be asked is, and I'm going to ask the questions now, how deeply do you think the Russian spy ring infiltrated the government? If the spy ring has been around for decades, why do you believe the FBI acted to stop them now? Do you feel timing is questionable, and why now? Russian media sources, including Pravda, are claiming that the spy scandal is fabricated by the Republicans to damage Obama. Do you actually believe this, or is this just an attempt to cover up for Russian spies? Why would the Russians need to bother with spies in order to influence policy when they have registered foreign agents who are able to do the same thing legally? And which do you fear more, foreign spies or foreign lobbyists? Do you feel that Obama's questionable allegiances contribute to an atmosphere where foreign influence is taken for granted? What do you fear these Russian spies may have discovered or have had influence over to date? And which foreign government do you feel poses the greatest danger to U.S. national security? Is it China? Is it Russia? Or is it another country? Saudi Arabia? What do you think is the most effective way to end foreign influence and espionage in the United States? Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on in the Gulf, and what's going on in the White House. But with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at Carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's Carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. Now, let's do this. Let's review the complete spy scandal. What happened? Four couples living in the U.S. under assumed false identities while secretly working as covert Russian spies on long-term, deep-cover assignments to obtain information on nuclear weapons have now been charged with conspiring to act as unregistered agents of Russia and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Who are they? Richard and Cynthia Murphy of New Jersey. Ronald Howard Heathfield and Tracy Leanne Foley of Boston. Michael Zatoli and Patricia Mills of Arlington. Juan Lazaro and Vicky Peleas of Yonkers, New York. Two additional defendants, Anna Chapman and Mikhail Semenko, were also arrested for allegedly aiding in the same suspected Russian spy ring. There are others. We don't know who these people are. We do know that they were trying to influence America's policy towards Russia. And a Clinton friend may have been the spy's target. Are you surprised by that? A leading Democratic fundraiser and close political ally of Hillary Clinton may have been a target of the alleged ring of Russian spies arrested yesterday by the FBI. The president of the high-end tax accounting and financial advising firm Area Financial Services confirmed earlier today that the alleged spy, Cynthia Murphy, was a longtime employee and a VP at the company, which is located on Lower Broadway, Manhattan. Federal and state campaign finance filings suggest that the little-known company manages the finances of one of New York's top Democratic financiers, Alan Patricoff, a venture capital figure and the finance chairman of Clinton's Senate campaign, as well as a top presidential campaign fundraiser. Do you hear any of this? Personal friend? Murphy, the complaint says, was assigned this person's account. Isn't that interesting?
Patrickov fits those descriptions. He's a friend of Secretary Hillary Clinton, as well as major Democratic fundraiser himself. Patrickov did not respond to an urgent message left with his office by Politico, including details of the connection early this afternoon. Maria, who said she was shocked at the spying allegations, did not respond to a later message asking about Patrickov. Murphy claimed to have studied both Columbia's and New York University's business schools. A person named Nancy Murphy is a 2000 graduate of NYU's Stern School of Management, a school official said today. Another source confirmed that she had studied at Columbia. The complaint alleges that she was also tasked to spy on classmates. Well, something's wrong here. Something is wrong here. It's a little too late for me, but this proves that Whitaker Chambers was right about the infiltration of communists into our government and society. You hear this? And there's much more to this story, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. The real question today, for me, is why now? If they've been on their trail for over 10 years, why now? Why now? Especially when, during the Washington leg of his U.S. visit, President Medvedev and U.S. President Barack Obama gave reporters a photo op inside a Washington diner as the two men enjoyed a lighthearted meal of hamburgers and French fries. Obama said that the relations with Russia were reset. So what is this all about? Medved was in California last week where he paid a visit to the high-tech capital of Silicon Valley. And there he met with the leaders of various IT companies while breaking ground on a number of ambitious virtual projects between Russian and U.S. companies. So somebody in this government is trying to slow this down. And rightly so, in my opinion. Rightly so, in my opinion. It seems to me that there's an old guard inside the FBI that is just as worried, just as concerned, just as fearful of Obama and his radical leftist associates and inclinations, as are we, the American people. It's all screwed up. It's all screwed up. As my father used to say to me, if you go to Coney Island at low tide, what's left there on the beach at low tide is what we have in politics. He was very cynical.
Savage.
The Tea Party movement is no longer being ignored by the left. The radical left media says it's a racist movement. They say it is run by the right-wing crazies. They say whatever they can to take away any shred of credibility for this true American movement. Many of them are worried that the Tea Party movement will be corrupted by the status quo Republicans and suffer an early demise. Joining us now is Joseph Farah, CEO and founder of WorldNet Daily, to talk about this in his new book coming out July 4th entitled The Tea Party Manifesto. Joseph Farah, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Michael Savage, for addressing this very important issue. You've been a great friend to the Tea Party movement and to liberty in this country. The reason I wrote this book, The Tea Party Manifesto, was because I noticed that a lot of people from both the left and the right were giving advice to the Tea Party movement. And the essence of this advice from both sides of the political spectrum was that the Tea Party should stick to economic issues and not deviate from them at all and avoid at all costs what they characterized as divisive social issues. And I began to think about that, and a few things occurred to me. Number one, wasn't this the same advice people had been giving to the Republican Party for so many years, both from the inside and the outside? And wasn't this big tent mentality what led to the downfall of the Republican Party time and time again? So in other words, you know, wasn't history repeating itself with this new exciting movement called the Tea Party? Another thing that occurred to me was the terminology being used, social issues. We all know what kinds of issues that suggests, but it's really a loaded term. Social issues is usually the term we use for abortion and same-sex marriage and other moral questions. But it's really a loaded term because all issues are social issues. They're all about people. All issues are moral issues. I mean, taxation is a social issue, and it's a moral issue. Healthcare is a social issue, and it's a moral issue. Illegal immigration is a social issue, and it's a moral issue. So what I found was that these folks who were preaching this economic message were really talking about sticking to materialistic issues.
Well, why is that important?
Now, we know the left is materialistic. That's right out of the playbook of Marx and Engels. But why would some on the right buy into this philosophy? How has the left once again managed to set the terms of the debate? One more question that occurred to me before I wrote this book. In order for us to decide to stick to economic and materialistic issues, we have to assume that the fundamental problems we face in America are economic and material. And I don't believe that for a minute. I believe those problems go much deeper. So anyway, my solution was the Tea Party Manifesto. And in short, it was put together, it's a manifesto for the Tea Party movement that doesn't try to constrain the movement and limit its scope. And it's unique in that regard. And I proposed instead emulating the most successful freedom movement in the history of the world, the one that was led by our founding fathers. And by the way, that was never a materialistic vision. Some people really think that we can just talk about free enterprise and limited government and lower taxes and win. Well, you might win an election, and you might win a battle, but you will not win the war for America's heart and soul, and that's the real conflict being waged today in the press and Hollywood and the schools and the universities and, of course, in Washington, D.C. So don't fall for the temptation to rally around exclusively economic issues. My point is to rally instead around the vision that touched off the greatest freedom experiment in world history, the vision of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rally instead, I tell the Tea Partiers, around the idea that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Rally instead around the idea that we don't have, nor do we want, any earthly king reigning over us. That's what the founders believe. That vision proved effective. That vision proved to be inspired. And that vision, along with a lot of prayer and providence, can, I believe, help us take America back. I really believe that, and that is the thesis of the Tea Party Manifesto.
Well, why do you think the left has stepped up attacks on the Tea Party?
Well, what that means, Michael, when you see the Tea Party caricatured in the media and ridiculed and maligned by all of the elites, what they're saying is we're threatened by this movement. This is potentially an effective movement that can, you know, take away the terms of the debate that we have set for so long. And they see this as what it is. It's a tremendous grassroots movement. It's unprecedented, certainly in my lifetime, that just average, hardworking Americans would get out into the streets to protest their government's actions. And this is threatening to them because they've always felt that the left has a monopoly on protest, you know. And so this is a horse of a different color and very threatening to them.
We've seen some on the right take the same stance.
Well, I think the right, you know, you've had an establishment, its own kind of establishment. You know, the conservative movement in this country, I have to tell you, is an establishment movement. Lots of the same faces and players over the last 50 years. And even though, you know, it hasn't been terribly effective at taking power, those leaders, I think, some of them anyway, are threatened when this new movement comes along, and they don't know anybody who's involved. These are nameless, faceless kind of people. What business do they have getting involved in politics? We're the experts. I think that's the attitude that a lot of folks have, even within the conservative establishment, and that's the threat there.
Where do you think it goes from here?
Well, I think one thing that we can predict fairly safely at this point in history, and that is that in November we're going to see a major sea change in the House and Senate. This midterm election is going to be historic, and it's going to be historic because of the Tea Party movement. It's not going to be because the Republicans did anything right. That's certainly not the case. It's going to be a reaction to Democratic control of the House and Senate since 2006. And particularly since 2008 with Barack Obama in the White House. It's going to be an electoral revolution. It's going to be bigger than 1994. And the real question is, where do we go after that? How do we top that? What happens in 2012 and beyond? And that's why I think it's very important for the Tea Party movement to be somewhat introspective right now and to really look deep at the issues, not to be constrained by politicians who say, hey, you shouldn't talk about this issue and you shouldn't talk about that issue. You know, this Tea Party movement was founded because of a sagging economy and you should stick to the economic issues. Uh-uh. That isn't going to fly. That's not going to carry the day in the long run. No long-lasting movement has ever been founded on purely materialistic issues except the socialist movement, the communist movement. That's their bailiwick, materialism. So don't fall for that.
When does your book, The Tea Party Manifesto, come out, Joe?
July 4th. It will be available in bookstores all over the country. Of course, July 4th, all the bookstores will be closed, so it's purely a symbolic publication date.
Joseph Farah, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it's always a pleasure. You're a great friend, and I appreciate everything you do for this great country of ours.
Savage.
A while ago, we had John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, on the show to discuss how gun laws do not help prevent crime. He joins us again to talk about the Supreme Court's ruling on the Chicago ban, which they overturned. John Lott, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm sure you like the ruling. What do you think about it?
Well, the Supreme Court said that there is an individual right for people to own guns, even with regard to the states. 2 years ago, they had said that the federal government could not completely ban gun ownership in its jurisdictions that it controlled, such as the District of Columbia. But there was the question about, did that type of restriction also apply to the states or not? And prior to the Civil War, the Bill of Rights only restricted what the federal government could do. After the Civil War, they passed the 14th Amendment to also apply those restrictions to the rest of the country. And the reason why they did that is that after the Civil War, newly freed blacks would face laws in the South that would go, for example, and ban them from being able to own guns for self-protection. And many people in Congress were concerned at that time that blacks were being left defenseless in the South and for groups that were being formed like the Ku Klux Klan. And so they passed the 14th Amendment to make it so that people were able to go and defend themselves. It's only been now with the decision on Monday that we've kind of gone full circle and had the Supreme Court officially recognize that decision.
What does this mean for us?
Well, it is a victory, but it's a narrow victory in the sense that all the court has done up till now is say that government cannot completely ban an entire class of guns, such as handguns. And in the Heller decision, they also made it clear that you couldn't have gun locks that made it impossible for people to be able to use guns for self-defense. The problem is that what happened in D.C. and what Chicago's already threatened to do, Mayor Daley and the city council there have already threatened to do, is to impose really high fees, make it very difficult for all but the wealthiest people to be able to go and own handguns. So, for example, in Washington, D.C., the city council there passed a $550 fee that you have to pay to register a handgun. You have to go to the police department four times. You have to pass two written tests. There are other costs that you go and have to bear. And it's basically only the wealthiest people who can go through that process. Chicago has promised to go and adopt all those restrictions plus additional ones, additional fees that people are going to have to bear. And again, it's my research that I find in More Guns, Less Crime is that it's basically one of the groups of people who benefit the most from owning guns are basically poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas. And whether it's Washington, D.C. or Mayor Daley, they seem intent on making it so those are the very types of people that they're going to do what they can to prevent them from owning guns for self-protection.
What can we expect to see in the next few years?
Right. Well, it's going to have to go back to the Supreme Court again. And just like with the abortion issue with Roe v. Wade, there are many times over the years that new cases have come up. And the same issue is going to happen with guns. And that's the reason why a Supreme Court appointment such as Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor are so important. Last year, in her confirmation process, Sonia Sotomayor promised the Senate Judiciary Committee that she accepted the Heller decision, that there was an individual right for people to own guns. And yet, in the decision that she signed on to on Monday, she argued that she did not believe that there was an individual right to own guns. And she specifically rejected the Heller decision. So you have to be very careful when you put these people on the Supreme Court. She had a long record prior to her nomination where she had made it clear that she opposed an individual right to self-defense, but she promised that she was going to follow Heller, and that turned out not to be worth very much, her promise at that time. Unfortunately, Kagan is at least as strongly against guns, if it's possible, as Sotomayor was. Kagan has written that she is unsympathetic to the notion that there's an individual right to self-defense. And she, from 95 to 99, she basically ran President Clinton's gun control effort when she was deputy domestic policy advisor in the White House. And so she got through bans on importation of guns. She fought for many different types of regulations that came up at that time. There are probably few people that could have been nominated to the Supreme Court that have had as strong of fight against gun ownership over time as she has. And it's something that should really concern people.
So where do we go from here?
Well, you're going to see challenges to the D.C. gun fees that they have and other types of regulations. But it's going to be something that's going to be many decisions over time, where they're just going to be there are different regulations around the country that the courts are going to have to look at and see whether or not they infringe on people's rights to be able to own guns. You know, you look at the writings of either the First Amendment or the Second Amendment, you wonder how much clearer could these guys have been who wrote the Bill of Rights. I mean, the Second Amendment says shall not infringe. And yet, when you listen to the debates for many liberals, it's like just about any gun control regulation you can think of, they can go and try to push for, and they're going to try to push for in the name of safety. And so the coming cases are going to be a little bit different than the past cases, because the two that we've had, the Supreme Court says, look, if the Second Amendment means anything, it means you can't have a ban on guns. Now, we're going to be getting into a little bit grayer area where they say, well, what about registration and licensing? What about fees? What about bans on assault weapons? What about other types of regulations that you have there? And what's going to happen in these cases is that people who support registration and licensing are going to go and argue, well, we need this for safety. And others are going to point out that this is going to reduce gun ownership. And I think to give you a flavor of the types of debate that's going to come up, if I were arguing against registration and licensing before court, what I would point out is we've tried registration and licensing in parts of this country. We've seen it tried around the world. Hawaii's had registration and licensing for about 50 years, and yet they cannot point to one single crime that's been solved as a result of that. Canada, which has had registration of handguns since 1930s, claims three cases that they can point to that have been solved by registration. There's a simple reason for that.
Why do you say that?
Criminals virtually never leave their guns at the crime scene. You know, in theory, if they do, you could trace it back to the owner. But when they do leave a gun, it's because the criminal's either been seriously injured or killed. Or, but even when they do leave it there, it's never registered to the criminal. So it doesn't do you any good. Hawaii spends 50,000 hours of police time each year doing registration licensing. So I would go and argue is that this is one case where freedom and safety go together. We know that allowing law-abiding individuals to protect themselves reduces violent crime. We've seen this in the huge drop in murder rates in D.C. since the Heller decision was made. We see the reverse happens when Chicago and Washington, D.C. ban guns. But in the case of something like registration, there are no crimes that have been solved. But on the other hand, we take 50,000 hours worth of police time that we could have go and do real law enforcement effort that we know works, and now we're not going to be able to let them do that. And so just think how much we could solve crime in Hawaii if you were to free up the time that the police are spending with registration and allow them to go and do real police work.
Hmm. Exactly.
Those are the types of arguments I've tried to make in More Guns, Less Crime, that you have to understand the trade-offs that are there. And I think that's where the debate's going to be going. When you look at what Chicago is promising to do, Mayor Daley, with these high fees, these $500 fees, these other taxes that he wants to impose on us, or what's been done in Washington, D.C., who are we disarming? I mean, these guys are, in some sense, the ultimate elitists. I mean, not only does Mayor Daley feel it's proper for him to have 24-hour, round-the-clock bodyguards to protect himself, so he understands the benefits for people having guns, but the very people in his city who benefit the most from having guns, simply because they're the most vulnerable to crime, they're the most likely to be victims of crime, he wants fees and taxes to price the poor people out of being able to go and get a gun for self-protection. How many of them are going to be able to pay a $550 fee? How many of them are going to be able to pay for the insurance and other costs that he insists that he's going to load up on top of that? I mean, it's in many ways, it's kind of the ultimate elitist argument that these liberal Democrats are pushing, that it's only certain people, you know, themselves, as well as extremely wealthy people, who they think should have the opportunity to go and defend themselves.
John, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael, for having me on again. I greatly appreciate it.
Savage.
Here's what's on everyone's favorite website, michaelsavage.com. If you haven't seen her, take a look at the Spirings femme fatale. A busty, flame-haired 007-worthy beauty who flitted from high-profile parties to top-secret meetings around Manhattan. What a novel. Iran sets conditions for nuclear talks. Kagan's partial birth abortion lie. By the way, she's not even a single mom. Senator's aide calls Tea Party as Nazi brown shirts. Here's a sad one. Two Tampa officers, both with children aged 31, died after a traffic stop, routine traffic stop. And, of course, the vermin in the media don't report who they stopped. They said it was a couple. Couple of what? A couple of cop-killing vermin. That's what. We still don't have an ID? How can we help them find them if they don't tell us who did it? Why, because they don't look like General McChrystal? They won't tell us who did the shooting? Well, that's the media for you today. That's the media. Kochab's wife is 9 months pregnant. Curtis is a father of four, dead. Dead on the ground. And look what the vermin in the Associated Press say. A massive search is on for a man and woman who were driving a red Toyota Camry. Now, you know and I know that they're on the cameras in the police car. But the vermin in the media won't report them because they don't look like General McChrystal. Read all about it and puke on michaelsavage.com.
This is Graham Hancock with a special report from Michael Savage. It seems that Eleanor Kagan is having some problems with her enunciation of words. I have a secret tape that I've been able to obtain. Let's listen in.
Now, Eleanor, enunciation is so very important. Let's try it again, shall we? Give it your best shot. Come on. I know you can do it.
The joy of my life
has been to teach thousands of students about the law.
It's not law. It's law. Try it. Say law.
Law.
Say law.
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 Law. Law. Law. Law. Law.
Law. Law.
Law. No, 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 no. No, please. Law. Law. Law.
Law.
Law. Law. Law. Law. Law. Law. This is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. You can't even say the word law.
No one has a monopoly on truth or wisdom.
There you have it. Eleanor Kagan can't even say the word law. One only wonders what's ahead for the Supreme Court. Back to you, Michael Savage.
Well, you've heard me talk about the Russian spy ring being broken up by the FBI.
The FBI says they use secret codes and cryptic messages. The 10 alleged Russian spies are suspected of trading information about nuclear arms, the CIA, and the president, and all of whom seem to be living ordinary lives here.
Concealed in quiet neighborhoods like here in Yonkers and also in Boston was a highly sophisticated ring of suspected Russian spies calling themselves the Illegals. A major sweep yielded 10 arrests in 5 cities.
The Illegals? Maybe we should be focusing on the real Illegals.
According to court papers, the FBI intercepted a message describing the group's main mission, to search and develop ties in policymaking circles in the U.S. Investigators described their means of communication, a new high-tech spy-to-spy system using a secret wireless network connected to custom laptops and home computers. And the operatives, the FBI says, would meet at several locations like here at 47th and 8th, trading secret information using undercover codes and even invisible writing.
It sounds like something out of a spy novel. But it's no joke when President Medvedev of Russia is still talking about world war. Listen.
Do you think there's at least a hypothetical possibility of a military conflict that would be similar to World War II in scale?
Unfortunately, such a conflict is possible because there are all sorts of countries on our planet, and they have all kinds of interests. This planet has a huge amount of weapons, and there are people who still consider war as a means for solving their political problems. After all, accidents will happen, so we must be prepared. People in Russia are suspicious of America, other NATO members, and even other countries that are simply major players on the international arena. Why is that? It's because our history, the way we used to perceive each other, we had a set of stereotypes concerning the other. Just recall what they used to tell us at school about Americans and Europeans. This position was totally based on ideology. It pursued obvious goals to make us consider people who lived there as our enemies. They had the same thing. In fact, many stereotypes of the past are still here today, more or less.
And meanwhile in D.C., the Kagan hearings drag on and on and on. It's sort of a long drag show. Here's Senator Jeff Sessions talking about her position on the military.
Now, when you became dean, you personally opposed the don't ask, don't tell policy and felt strongly about it, did you not?
I do oppose the don't ask, don't tell
policy. And you did then?
And I did then.
In 03, not long after you had been became president, you said, quote, I abhor the military's discrimination recruitment policy, close quote. I consider it, quote, a profound wrong, a moral injustice of the first order, close quote. And that was an email you sent to the entire law school.
And here's Kagan the Pagan's response.
Senator Sessions, I have repeatedly said that I believe that the don't ask, don't tell policy is unwise and unjust. I believed it then, and I believe it now. And we were trying to do two things. We were trying to make sure that military recruiters had full and complete access to our students, but we were also trying to protect our own anti-discrimination policy and to protect the students whom it is, the policy is supposed to protect, which in this case were our gay and lesbian students.
I got to tell you this as a side note. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. All right. Now, if you think that I hate San Francisco, you're mistaken. I love San Francisco. I love the city. I love the people who built it. I love the memory of those who built it. I love the foresight of some previous administrations who
gave us the beauty that we have in the city. But I got to tell you, there's nothing to beat a night in San Francisco after the show. I went and walked down around the ferries and the tourist ferries. I looked at the paddle wheelers. And I'm thinking of having a big, I'm a man in love with the bay and the sea. I got to tell you, you know that I love boating. So after the show, I was alone walking around there by myself on the waterfront. And I look at the paddle wheelers and I think, you know what? I think I'm going to have another pre-election eve giant 2,000, 3,000 person at sea rally. You know, sort of a paddle wheeler at sea. I don't know when my book comes out, whatever. And I got all excited about it. I made some calls. And I made my way over to Alioto's for a couple of drinks. They were stiff ones. Real, real stiff ones. It's getting harder and harder for me to, you know, decompress after a show. Now, I see people running along the Embarcadero. That's one way to decompress. My way of decompressing is having a very stiff drink or two. I think that's also a very good way to decompress. I don't think there's any evidence that running your heart out is going to have you live any longer than drinking a couple of drinks at night.